Not such a long, long time ago, when life was moving really slow, locked up in our houses all in a row. Well, I can't remember if I cried when Dan Old nearly died. Something touched me deep inside the day we were coronified. Oh, we were singing bye-bye. We were scattered to houses. We learned a few lessons, and what church is about is more than just singing songs and altar calls. It's about a church without walls. It's about a church without walls. Do you believe in the great command? Love your neighbor and her man. To pray for all the eight on your hashtag. Well, I know that you're in love with God, 'cause I saw you out in your front yard. The people came and went. It was a glorious FYM event. And we were singing bye-bye. We were scattered to houses. We learned a few lessons, and what church is about is more than just singing songs and altar calls. It's about a church without walls. It's about a church without walls.
Well, howdy. My name is Stacy, and I'm one of the pastors here at Calvary. And wherever you're watching, however you found us, thanks for allowing us to spend a little time with you today. We count it an honor and a privilege. We're in week 4 of our summer teaching series. We're calling it Summer School. And we're looking for life lessons, things that we've learned that we want to hang on to for the next chapter in our story. We've already heard some great messages from some of the other leaders from the Calvary family, and it's my pleasure to bring you another thought this weekend. We'll also be celebrating communion at the end of our time together, so you might want to go ahead and grab some bread and wine or juice so that you're ready when we get there. We've been using Jeremiah 6:16 as our theme verse, and it's a remarkable verse. The prophet Jeremiah is voicing the thoughts of the Lord to his people, the nation of Israel. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that although we're thousands of years and a world of culture away from the people that Jeremiah was working with, his message still rings true. It's still appropriate for us today. Jeremiah says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls." If you've been following along, you know that tragically, even to their own hurt, Israel refused to listen. They refused to repent. They refused to submit to the ways of God. They stubbornly insisted on traveling a road that did not lead to life and blessing. It ended with exile, being forcibly removed from their homeland and made to serve as slaves in a foreign country. And there's a lesson in there for us. We ought to learn from the mistakes of others. About a month ago, I shared the first message in this series, and I actually teased the idea that I'm going to share with us today. God tells us to stand at the crossroads and look, to ask for the ancient paths, to inquire about the good way. Why does he tell us to ask? Well, because he wants to answer. You know, that's the kind of prayer that God always answers. When a person committed to doing the will of God asks for direction, asks about bringing his or her life into alignment with the will of God, our good Father always responds. Now, that leads me to a little side trail about probably specifically men and directions. Pastor Dan's already made his confession about his reluctance to ask for directions. You've probably heard some of his hilarious stories about how that's worked out for him. But I'm pretty sure that he's not the only one of us in that category. Some of us are more directionally gifted than others. My dad, for example, he can remember every road that he's ever driven. He has this innate sense of where he is and where his next turn is going to be to get him where he needs to go, even when he's in a new town. I'm not like that. I've been known to turn the wrong way coming out of our neighborhood. I'll have the left turn signal on and Kim will say, where are you going? And without a word, I'll just switch to the turn signal and turn to the right. One time years ago, this is tough to admit, but we were headed to my brother's house in Durham, North Carolina. We were driving through the night and we stopped to get gas as we made the turn onto Route 40. Kim had been doing the driving and we switched at that point. So I took over the driving and Kim went to sleep. You guessed it. I drove the wrong way on Interstate 40 for a couple of hours. And Kim never gets tired of reminding. She brought it up this past vacation. It's a tough one to live down. But if you want to get where you're supposed to be, directions matter, don't they? It's my hope to recap some foundational truth for us and then point out a few takeaways, a few life lessons that we should hold on to as we move into the next chapter of our story. So let me start with a very basic and foundational idea, an idea that's foundational to our very core. And it has to do with life direction. Here's the truth that I want to propose to you. God speaks in ways that we can hear so we can join him where he's at work. Let's break that down into a few bite-sized pieces to make sure that we get everything out of it that God has for us. First, the simple truth that God speaks. The Bible opens with Genesis 1, where we read, "And God said," and it closes with Revelation 22, where we find Jesus saying, "Surely I am coming soon." It opens and closes with words from God, and the pages between are literally covered with the words of God, with instances of God speaking. Not only do we have a true and trustworthy record of the thoughts of God, we actually have detailed and specific accounts of God's interaction with us, with human beings, the actual words God spoke to them. God's got a rich history of speaking to people, starting in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And throughout the course of scriptures, we discover how he spoke to Noah, to Abraham and the patriarchs, to Moses, to kings like David and Solomon, to the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah. It's the same Jeremiah who would later write, "This is what the Lord says." In chapter 33, he says, "This is what God says, call to me and I will answer you and I'll tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." It's amazing. After a time of the prophets, there's this period of silence, a span of about 400 years when no new prophets were raised up and the Lord didn't reveal anything new to his people. That's the time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But then the New Testament opens with the Gospels, the accounts of the life, the ministry of Jesus, and a new chapter of God speaking to his people. In fact, in John chapter 1, Jesus himself is called the Word of God. And he promised his followers that he'd never leave them, but that he would send his Spirit, the very essence of God, to live in them, to live in us, to be our counselor, to remind us of all the things that Jesus had said, and to lead us into truth. The author of Hebrews opens his writing with these words: "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." God speaks to us today. So let me ask you this. Hit pause right here. Do you believe this? Not only that God speaks, but that God speaks to you. That's key for us to move forward. So God speaks in ways that we can hear. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, we find something remarkable. Jesus says something that's absolutely life-changing, I think. He's called himself the Good Shepherd. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." Jesus is promising that if we're actually part of his flock, part of his family, to mix a metaphor there, if we actually belong to him, we can and will hear his voice. He promises to speak to us. Now, maybe you're like me. I used to think that this privilege was reserved for the spiritually elite, you know, pastors, missionaries, folks who were on the A-list when it came to spiritual life. But you know what? That's not what it says, is it? That's not what Jesus said at all. He says that every person who belongs to him can hear his voice. He doesn't play favorites. He wants all of us to hear him. So let's take a look at some of the ways that God speaks. One of the best resources that I've ever come across in terms of helping us know God is Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God. If you've never done that study, you ought to grab a copy today and get after it. Blackaby tells us that God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. A little while ago, I ran across a book by Dallas Willard called Hearing God, and he fleshes out that idea a little bit more in that book. It's great. You ought to pick up a copy of that book too. Willard writes that there are six ways in which people are addressed by God within the biblical record. In the Bible, we find these six ways that God speaks. Now, number one is a phenomenon plus a voice, like this extraordinary special thing that happens plus a voice. Number two is a supernatural messenger or an angel. Number three would be dreams and visions. Four is an audible voice. Five is a human voice, God speaking through another person to speak. And the last one is the human spirit, or what's also called the still small voice. And I think the order that he lists them is intentional. He moves from the supernatural and extraordinary to the simple and everyday. And again, maybe you're like me in this, but I used to crave the supernatural. I'd read the accounts of God speaking through dreams or visions or the burning bush, and I wanted to have that. I wanted to have the dream or vision to hear the audible voice of God. I'd pray about it and ask God to give me that kind of experience. And I've had a few dreams that I think are from the Lord. I've had a few instances where I think God has interrupted me and spoken to me. But Dallas Willard makes a really good case that those supernatural kinds of experiences, at least when you see them in the Bible, they're not the primary way that God speaks to his people. And while we can point out some exceptions, those types of communication are generally reserved for people who don't really know the Lord well. But for those people who are growing, who are maturing in their faith, those people who are, like Jesus describes, part of his family, those are the people that he speaks to like a friend. God wants to talk to us like a good father talks to his kids. Do you remember Jesus saying that eventually students begin to look and think and act like their teacher? That's in Luke 6. As our heart, as our character is shaped by his spirit, by instruction in his word, as we get to know him and begin to live like him, as we become more familiar with God's ways and his purposes, as his thoughts and his words begin to become internalized to us, that's when we begin to grow in hearing that still, small, internal voice of God. God promises to speak to us in ways that we can hear him. And I think the ideal way is that we hear him in here. So let me ask you this. How has God spoken to you? What are the ways that you have heard God speak? And would you like to cultivate a relationship with him so that you can hear that still, small voice? God speaks in ways that we can hear so that we can join him where he's at work. Okay, so we're getting to the heart of it now, at least for me. This is the purpose of God speaking to us. Listen to what James tells us. In James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, James writes, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Now, I mentioned earlier that Jesus calls His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, our counselor, our guide into all truth. What do you suppose He means by counselor? Have you ever had a counselor? Maybe you've seen a trained professional for some help working through some issues that have developed in your life. I have, and it's been very helpful. Maybe you had a guidance counselor in high school. But in both of those cases, what does a counselor give you? Advice, right? You go to a counselor and they listen to you talk, they ask some questions, they give you a recommendation, a suggested plan of action. But how obligated are you to follow their plan? You're not, really, are you? I mean, it's still up to you, sort of, to work it all out. Well, that's not the kind of counselor that Jesus means when He refers to the Holy Spirit as our counselor. The Holy Spirit is God. And as God, He knows everything. He sees everything. He knows you better than you know yourself. He is intimately acquainted with you, with your life, with your circumstances, and He knows what path is best for you. His plan is always best. God's path is always good. It might not be the path that makes the most sense to you. It might be longer and trickier, filled with twists and turns, marked by complications, unforeseen side trails, but His path is always the best. You see, God wants to shape us, to build the character of Christ in us. We have been created as God's masterpiece, His best work. That's what Ephesians 2 tells us. And He made us to partner with Him in the work of the kingdom. We've been created to be part of His plan to redeem the fallen world, to bring life and hope and healing, to bring good news to people who are desperate for a glimpse of God's goodness. His path always leads us along His purpose for us and His purpose for the kingdom. So, if God speaks, and He speaks in ways that we can hear so that we can join Him where He's at work, how do you respond to what the Lord says to you? When was the last time you said yes to God? So that's the foundation. That's the truth that I wanted to lay down, that God speaks in ways that we can hear so that we can join Him, so that we can obey. Now, let's turn our attention to a few learnings, a few lessons that we can take with us into the next chapter of our story. The first one that I want to point out is that God always tells His people what He wants to do, corporately, individually, so that we can align our lives with His plan so that we can obey. So here's the takeaway for me. Number one, I need friends who can help me hear God well. Terry Walling, he's a guy who does some coaching for us, some leadership development, but he said no one ever gets to clarity alone. I believe that each and every one of us will experience some version of the dark night of the soul. Maybe you've already experienced this. It's when you run into this place where you're having trouble hearing God and you're not sure what to do. Maybe you've already run into the confusion of having too many choices or too many options, and it's cluttered. It's dark. You're not sure what to do next. I know that in my life, I need a sounding board. I think that's one of the reasons God gave me Kim as my wife. It's why I've been intentional, even more so in the last few months, to find some godly men who know me. Men that I trust, men who have my back. I know that I can let them into my story. They're committed to helping me follow the plan of God for my life. This is one of the reasons that God calls us to live in community. We need to be in circles where we're talking about real life, about our walk with Jesus, about our real struggles and our priorities, where we can ask good questions and get good input from other people. So let me ask you this. Who do you have who will be part of your community of faith, hope, and love? Who can you trust with your story? Who can help you hear God? The second life lesson that I think is important is it's not only the destination that matters. The journey matters. The route that you take to get where God wants you is important. God often takes us the long way through the desert. I'm looking at you, Israel, because He wants to teach us things along the way. If you take a shortcut or an alternative route, you stand a good chance to miss the things that God had prepared for you to encounter along the way. God has certain things planned in advance for you, opportunities to grow in wisdom and character, trials to build your faith, to make you stronger, blessings that you can share with other people, experiences meant to deepen your trust in Him, to build a kingdom mindset in you. But if you don't go God's way, you might miss those. Now, I know you can play on the sovereignty of God and trust that He's going to bring those things back around, but here's the thing. You don't want to waste time in getting those experiences. My mentor, my spiritual father, Charlie Walker, used to tell me that when God's trying to teach you something, you better learn the lesson because you're going to get stuck right there until you learn that lesson. You're going to keep circling and circling and circling like the nation of Israel out in the desert. So it only makes sense to listen, to hear, obey, to get everything out of the experience that the Lord has for you. Do you trust Him enough to follow Him? Do you believe that His path is best, that His way is right? Do you believe that He loves you and that His plan for you is good? The third lesson that I want to pull out of this, and this one might get a little personal, but when we're not hearing God, we have to check our love level. And again, this might be personal. You might feel like I'm stepping on your toes, but I'm asking you to trust me. I only want the best for you. Hearing God is tied to intimacy. Intimacy with God is tied to obedience. In order for us to cultivate a life marked by this intimacy with God that lets us hear Him on the regular, we have to continue to grow as listeners. And let me remind you of the words I already shared from James. God's looking for people who will do what they hear Him say. We have to know His voice and walk in obedience. Listen to how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Now, I don't know if this thought is original to Pastor Dan or not. I know I've heard him share this before. He said, we don't have an information problem. We have an obedience problem. In that same Experiencing God book, Blackaby writes, if you have an obedience problem, you have a love problem. And then goes on to cite a whole lot of scriptures, but one of the main ones, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love God, you'll hear His voice and walk in obedience. When we lose that thread, because we all do, we can all go off script. It's so subjective. We can miss a turn. We can mishear God. But when we lose the thread, we have to go back to the last thing we heard Him say and do that thing. I've been listening to a lot of Duolingo podcasts lately to try to grow in my Spanish listening skills. It's been kind of fun. But one of the things that I appreciate so much is that when I get lost, I can skip back to the part that I lost the thread. Or I can go to the transcript and actually read to find out what I missed. The bottom line is obedience. The bottom line is when we find ourselves in a place where we're not hearing God, we have to check our obedience because our obedience is tied to our love for God. I used to feel like that was just cold and and kind of brutal for God to say, if you love, this is what I imagined, if you love me, you have to do what I say. But as I've grown and matured, I think I see God saying it differently. I think I see God saying, I love you, and I want you to be with me. So I want you to walk with me. I want you to go where I'm going. I want you to do what I'm doing. I think that's the heart of God behind Jesus saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. He's not looking to be a harsh taskmaster for us. He wants us to be with him. So when we lose the thread, we have to go back to where we got off track and step back into obedience. Here's the main thought, main idea. In a world that can change seemingly overnight, it is absolutely vital that we stay in a position where we're close so that we can hear and obey the Lord. He speaks to us all the time in ways that we can hear and understand so that we can obey him, so that we can join him where he's at work, so that we can walk with him as friends, as sons and daughter, as family. As we walk with him, as we obey, he builds the character of Christ in us. He takes us along the good path, the ancient way, the road of relationship with him. He stretches us, he causes us to grow, and he makes us more like Jesus. That's what I want, and that's what I'm praying for you too. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us, for making us the children of God. Thank you for bringing the words of Jesus back to us and teaching us truth, leading us. We need you. I need you to be my counselor, my guide. Would you give me ears to hear? I want to be teachable. Would you help us to be teachable, to be quick to hear? God, I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you don't get tired of us missing the mark, but you call us back. Would you help us? Help us to hear you and to trust you so that we can move with you. In Jesus' name, amen.